Hey, this is Garnet Lee. Welcome back to another One Up Yours podcast. Today, being the week of Valentine's Day, we thought we'd talk about girls and games. So I've got a group here that's got both girls and guys and games. Well, we don't have any games in front of us. And inevitably, since everyone's hot to talk about PS3, we thought we'd talk about the PS3 at the end of the wrap-up here. So I'm going to go around and let everybody introduce themselves. On my right is...
Dana from OPM.
And hi, this is Kristen from CGW.
And this is John from... what am I from? Everything we do.
Hello.
Bit yes. of everything.
From the top.
He's so quiet today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I be
He's using
louder?
His special voice.
Hi. He is using his special
voice. Radio voice.
So let's jump into the middle of this. It's a conversation that is seen... I'm thinking here with... two very nice ladies who are adults and
clearly
and
haven't worked with either of them.
I was just going to say, ladies.
Very nice women, you know, attractive, normal, everyday kind of folks. It seems like even talking about guys and girls and games has just become kind of a moot point. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice if it would become a moot point, I think. I mean, I don't know. I wrote a blog a little while ago about how probably the best thing that could happen for women gamers as if people stopped calling us out as women gamers and just talked about us as gamers. I mean, I think the more you talk about the division, the more it highlights it. So
yeah, it keeps highlighting and people keep talking around and around. None of this stuff ever seems to change. People keep saying, oh, we need to do different types of gaming. And I know when we were at the Women in Gaming Conference, the first one a year ago, you know,
they were talking about
all these different types and, like, they were trying to do, like, the romance novel version of games.
Because I know I'd play that.
Like, yeah. I mean, there just need to be good games. A lot of it is that a lot of girls growing up just may not be in contact with it as much. But, I mean, it's most of the people that I know who've come into contact with it actually really enjoy it. Like, my sister-in-law, like, doesn't have one around, but, like, we brought one home on Christmas vacation. And she spent a ton of time, like, playing, like, Burnout and... You just need something that's accessible and that's good.
I also don't know how many women feel the need to run around going, look at me, I'm a gamer.
I mean, there's a lot of guys running around WoW saying, hey, I'm a girl.
Well, that's a whole other ball. That's another,
I mean, not me. But
that's another podcast altogether.
I think Garnet does
altogether.
That sometimes.
That's another podcast
I do actually
altogether.
Usually play female characters, which is like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Right.
We won't go into that
right
now.
Right.
There seem to be two sort of ways people want right. to sort of push this. There's the Nintendogs. Sort of, you know, Nintendo's
Puberly,
fluffy bumpkins,
right.
everyone's going to play video games thing.
Puppies. Girls like puppies.
Girls like puppies and, you know,
wait a minute,
flowers.
I like puppies.
Guy, I was going to say, guys don't like puppies.
But then the other end is the whole WoW thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I know Dana can probably talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And what whole WoW thing would that be?
You know, there being 5 million people playing it and it's not just dorky guys.
Right. And EQ, I mean, other than... No offense to any female EQ people out there, but WoW seems to have opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people who don't traditionally play those games, and I think that has to do with design, not content. I mean, really honestly, it's not like WoW content is any less dorky than any other MMO out there.
Yeah, I don't think murlocs is especially cool.
I wonder how it,
hey!
I wonder how it skews more, though. Like, I wonder if it turns out that there are more women playing WoW who've never played games before, or if there are more older gamers playing WoW who've never played games before. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I agree, it's definitely opened up gaming to people who maybe traditionally haven't been gamers, but
the pattern seems to be someone gets WoW, gets really hooked on it, and then in order for the family unit to remain a family unit,
right.
they transfer their lives to WoW.
I guess. I mean, we certainly have heard a lot about, and then, you know, our own Jeff Green, we've heard a lot about people playing out these, like, funny little family scenarios in the game.
What do you mean?
Jeff's the editor-in-chief of CDW. Jeff's daughter was playing WoW. She was at home and he was at work and she was not supposed to be playing anymore. And I think it was his wife called and said, Sarah needs to get off the computer. And so Jeff logged into WoW, because we're on the same server, and his character walked up to her character in the game and did like slash poke or slash wave and basically said, like, Sarah, get off the computer. In the game.
Now that is surreal.
So, but I don't, I mean, we hear lots of stories about that kind of thing happening. Like that, you know, there were some, you know, some message board posting where same idea, some kid posted something at 3 a.m. and the next post was from his mom saying, Brian, if you're going to post at 3 a.m., don't do it on the same message board your mom does, you're grounded. So, So I guess that sort of backs up what John is saying, that there's this transference going on. Sorry, we're kind of getting away from the mm-hmm. women in gaming.
We go wherever we want to on it.
Yeah.
But it does back up your point. That
right.
Is there a point, you know?
Well, I guess that's the end of this one. <I'm>
You win.
Thank you all for stopping by.
Yeah.
Ooh, quartered.
But I don't know. I mean,
well, here's the
I personally don't. I don't play WoW. Like, I'm not into those games. I'm more into things you can.
And I thought it was interesting that Dana brought up WoW, because one of the things you don't just mm-hmm. play WoW.
No.
Well, I mean, I play other games. Like, what do you mean I don't just play WoW? Like, I mean, in like MMOs?
But you play other PS2 games.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Like you, had, you know, like you were into right. God of War and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that you brought that up, because that's one of the entrees that people have, think you know, they think of for women gamers. Okay, you know, like, here's the social, and it's the social aspect, right?
Right.
That brings them in.
Well, no, actually, though, no, I hate the social aspect, because I hate people. I never talk with people on there. I will only play with, like, if it's someone else that I know, I'll never join up with other
See,
people.
See, you didn't want a point, Kristen, because if you have a point, yeah. you just get that slapped away. It's like, oh,
no,
yeah.
What I think it is,
I'm over it.
Like, a lot of games, I mean, video games have been perceived as really dorky, and a lot of them have, like, this really high level of entry. It's like, if you haven't, like, been playing D&D, if you haven't been doing all these things for all these years, you may come in and yeah. really have no idea what's going on. So something like, say, a Burnout.
Dude,
which is a very, simple, like, it's driving a car. Everyone knows how to drive a car, and everyone knows how to crash a car. And this is something, it's not hard.
Including apparently some four-year-old yeah. in Tokyo. Yeah.
So you need, like, two buttons, you know? You need X, and you need the left right. analog stick, and
Wait a
everyone
minute, if it's
can
crashing
do this.
A car, would women be better at it?
Oh, you are so fired.
We're not going to go into this. And you don't say. But so something like that people can get into, or WoW, people can get into it because it's really, really well designed. I mean, yeah. I don't have to know anything logging on. I don't have to have the whole history, because it, like, really does a good job of introducing you to the world. Whereas something like, you know, MMOs traditionally have had a lot harder time. You know, you need mm-hmm. to know what you're doing before right. you even start.
This sort of is why, you know, I referred to that blog post that I wrote a while ago, and that's kind of why I blogged about it in the first place. It would be so much, it would serve all of us so much better if people weren't worrying about, like, ooh, will women like this game? Will men like this game? If they just worried about making a good game.
Right. I don't think many movie directors say, you know, right. unless it's, you know, it really is being targeted as a chick flick.
Right.
I think
right.
a lot of the big movies, I don't think they're all sitting around in focus groups going, well, will women like Titanic?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it, you were talking about the women in gaming thing. I mean, what is the women in gaming thing now? I mean, everyone seems to want to talk yeah. about it, but there are a lot of women running studios. There's clearly a lot mm-hmm. of women playing games. So there's people yeah. making women making games and women playing games, and there's a lot of games selling millions of units with a decent demographic split, not just The Sims anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my submission to this argument is that there isn't one anymore, is that it's a dead point.
Okay, so let us never speak of this yeah. again.
But I think there's another Women in Gaming conference coming up.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you guys went to that one. I mean, what it was a no boys allowed thing, kind of. So
yeah.
we didn't go. But, I mean, what's talked about there?
I mean,
there was a lot
well, they
of
knit doilies and
there was a well, there were a lot of and I guess that's a whole nother. I mean, me personally, I don't mind playing, you know, obviously there's a lot of sexualized female characters and things. So a lot of it actually would revolve around that, doing games that had more realistic, less boobalicious people in the games.
Not that there's anything wrong with boobalicious.
No.
So the new Lara
Croft is fine.
There's the new girl
right.
and then the new end game model. I
right.
mean, where does that
right.
fall for you guys?
You
She's
know,
still
it's
a bit
not,
booby.
She is, but...
But what isn't? I mean, look at any magazine, look at right. any movie. It's like, yeah, everyone is everywhere. It's hot, like, unrealistic people.
Right.
It's not any different in the rest of pop culture than it is in games.
I think the thing that was, at least for me, that was so stupid about the original Lara, you know, the way the original Lara looked is, you know, it made me laugh. Like, you know, just the idea of, like, running around with those things. Didn't make any sense
she
to me.
She had one of those 50s bras on, the little kind of cone.
You know, like,
oh, yeah, she had the Madonna spirally
yeah.
thing
yeah.
going on, yeah.
So, you know, the thing that seems to me, I mean, there's still a certain, like, Lara still carries a certain amount of cachet, I guess, but people weren't playing those games just because she had big boobs. You know, they
but
were
she
playing
got a lot of press because she had big boobs.
Yeah, yeah, but the game was a good game. The
See,
original
a really
game
good
was
point,
a good game.
I adore the game and I adore the character, but I could care less about her breast size.
Right. So you say.
You're so no, I really right don't.
You say.
Yeah.
Look, if I want to see
power.
I don't like boobs.
No, I totally like boobs. Don't get me wrong about that. I'll go on record for that right there. I mean, I've got Dead or Alive every damn
Let's
game.
Let's all go
That's
burn
no
our bras and march in a parade.
Woo!
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really bug me, but that's just me. But, you know, the same people that it's going to bug, they should be looking at everywhere else. I don't think that this is something that you can call out on video games. It has a lot more to do with just who we are in America.
Right. I think the unfortunate part, which maybe you were alluding to a little bit based on some of what we told you about our experience in Austin, is, and this mm-hmm. definitely reaches across, you know,
right,
outside of video games, is that there seems to be some backbiting within the, you know, among women who are gamers about what it means mm-hmm. to be
a woman. So tell me about
gamer.
That experience. A couple of glances shoot across the table.
Well, some of it seemed kind of, I mean, some of it, the first one, and they're working out the kinks. Some of it, you know, they were talking about like trying to hire, there was a panel on trying to hire more women into gaming.
Right.
But then basically the whole panel, they had these HR people up there and they're like, well, we can't discriminate based on sex. So we want to, but you know, so then they were like talking about all these like ways to word it so you weren't
right.
being illegal. I don't know. It seemed kind of not, the conference seemed kind of not to have a point and a lot. No offense to anyone who's there. You did a good job planning it. Thanks for letting us speak. but it seemed like a lot of it, we sat in a lot of the sessions and listened to people talk, and it was kind of like, well, what's the point? You know,
right.
there were the occasional women being like, oh, they're too sexualized. And then a few people like talking about how Nancy Drew, the game, was really great for bringing girl gamers into the industry. but I mean, Chris, did you see much of a point?
You know, it's fun. I mean, we didn't go this year, you know,
right.
or last year. We didn't go the second year. And
right.
and I think I got an email that looks to me like whoever the group was that was putting on has split. So there are actually two conferences happening now, one in Austin and one in
here. Is it here, like on Saturday?
So, which, and I'm totally, I have no idea. I'm
right.
speaking out of turn, but that says to me that there may have been some ideological differences in what the conference was supposed to be about in the first place. But
would that relate to the backlash you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you
so
know,
what was the backlash?
We had sort of an interesting experience. Just,
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it without making the other people sound really bad, because even though we like to bitch about them privately, I didn't really want to do it on the podcast.
No, you're on the spot now. That's what we're here for.
I mean, I think there is maybe a sense among some female gamers that in order to be taken seriously, you maybe need to desexualize yourself a little bit.
So kind of like the Earth Girl movement.
I'm not familiar with the Earth Girl movement.
Well, whatever. I mean, kind of like in order to be taken seriously, you can't wear, you wouldn't wear high fashion jeans and have makeup and be a pretty woman.
It kind of seems that if you would care about that maybe that delegitimizes you as a
exactly.
gamer.
But
then dudes are interested in that you're a hot chick who plays games, not that you're a gamer.
Which is,
God
you
forbid
know.
We had hot chicks that played games. Next thing you know, they'll be driving cars. Sports cars. Oh, my God.
My God.
Ouch!
I don't know what you put on your cornflakes this morning, but...
Somehow you tied this conversation into Valentine's Day. What the hell was
yeah.
that about?
Yeah, because this yeah. there's a lot of romance here.
Yeah, I'm sure
a
your
lot
wife
of
would.
Romance
I'm sure
here.
Your wife would feel the love
yeah.
if she was listening.
Totally.
So that's what you do all day, Garnet.
Oh, thanks.
Garnet,
oh,
wow.
Now
great.
I have a
there
stick.
There is now a stick being
that's
wielded.
Great. It's so good to have producers who bring lead pipes to the.
Garnet,
to the table.
Does your wife play games?
You know what? My wife does
and
not
I don't
play.
Mean head games. I mean video games.
Well, now.
She's constantly inside this one, but no, she doesn't. Actually, she doesn't play games, but so this brings us to another point I want to get to. I got her a DS for Christmas, and I'll be damned if she doesn't say all the time, well, I have to go walk my dog. And she doesn't mean Velvet or Casey, our two Labradors. She means her mm-hmm. Nintendog, and she actually opens her DS and plays with it. So
did you buy that for her, or did you really buy that for you?
I totally bought it for her. Okay. I totally bought it for her, mm-hmm. buying into the whole Nintendo thing of this brings other people into the market. So mm-hmm. we talked about WoW and how that brings women in. And maybe it's not just women that the Nintendo thing appeals to. It appeals somehow to people who aren't gamers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How?
But I think with all gamers, I mean, and the thing that all entertainment is going up against is just people's time.
Yes.
And the thing mm-hmm. that the DS does is you can have it with you and you can pop it open and play with your dog for a couple of minutes. But sitting down to play WoW is a major... you've decided that is how you're going to occupy yourself tonight.
Yeah.
Mm. Or, I mean, playing any game. And I mean, that's where the cliches about guys come from. It's why there's still the stigma in any mainstream press when they talk about games, where, you know, it's always prefaced with dorky gamer guy, you know. And but you can play Burnout with a bunch of friends, and it's kind of cool. And there's just all these sort of mixed messages coming through.
There's a ton of mixed messages right now. So how much of it is just because as gamers we're kind of like in an infancy still of the business and it's still trying to find its way?
I think that may be part of it. I think it's also, you know, it's to the advantage of people who sell things to categorize us.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
we came into
it.
Thank you, as
marketers.
An industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Categorized
well
as dorky guys. So then the challenge is, mm-hmm. how do you get non-dorky guys and girls when you can say, well, they're already here, but you've already pegged them as something else.
Right.
It'll get there. It's ignorance that, you know, makes people do these sorts of categorizations. And you're already seeing it some more on, like Slate, I know, will just do random video game things without it, like just actual coverage like they do of movies right. sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think as the media starts growing up, like people our age really start having a bigger influence on the media, that you're going to see that going away. It's just going to be accepted as part of the pop culture. It's like it'll be something.
How did the DS without trying make that jump? I mean, I was just ignorant or blind to the way they marketed it or what they did with it. I never noticed, though, some intent to make the DS a not gamers way to get people into doing that.
I think it's probably what John was saying before. It's just easy. You know, it's very accessible. Like, it's not a scary thing.
It has to be more than just
that.
But
I don't agree that it wasn't premeditated. I mean, like,
I don't either.
Nintendogs? Come on.
Right.
Well, it's
no, I don't think that it wasn't premeditated, but I didn't clue into it while it was happening.
Well, they didn't market it that way. They mm-hmm. just marketed it as, here's a cute little toy.
Because they're right. insidious.
Yeah.
That's what they knew. They're not supposed to clue
they
into it.
Really
if you could clue into it, you could protect yourself against it.
I mean, the PSP is a black, shiny, sort of, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat intimidating to some people device. And the DS isn't.
And it has a bunch
isn't.
Of games that were on the PS2.
Right, and the games are yes. intimidating. And then the DS is, well, you don't have to push anything. You just move your finger on the screen. I mean, it's sort of the functionality of the device speaks to it. I think we see that more E3 with Revolution. I think there's going to be a lot of very, very simple games designed to do exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
So let's go that direction for a second. If they could do it with DS, what's the chances of them being able to do it with Revolution? They've said, you know, basically the plan, I guess, is to appeal to the hardcore Nintendo fan, but then the second market they want to look into is the person who doesn't even play games right now.
The big challenge is going to be getting that person to actually invest the money
yeah.
in the hardware.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot
for
of the
sure.
people that I know who are like, it's...
So they need a Nintendogs
right.
to say, oh, I've got to have that.
Right.
You know?
Right. So it's going to have to be a pretty reasonable price.
Yeah, I mean, let's, you know, for a lot of people, you know, older than us, I think it's still going to be up to whether or not their kids want it, you mm-hmm. know, whether or not
there's
it makes
it
into their
house.
There's
going to be a lot of stuff like the karaoke and the dancing and the music stuff and just very visceral, easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the E3 is going to be full of that stuff this year.
So the same way
Guitar
the DS
Hero
had to have.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero.
Yay!
looking for
Which
drum
I'm fine
hero.
With, but
oh,
if only...
So just the same way the DS had to have something that got you into playing with the hardware, they're going to have something on the Revolution that really gets you playing with
yeah.
the controller.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at when the DS launched. There wasn't really any... I mean, a lot of people looked at it and went, why does this thing have two screens and one of them is a touchscreen? It's
right.
like, it doesn't make any sense. But 6 months later, it was like, oh, now we get it.
Mm-hmm. So the competition is going to be the PS3, and it seems like we're all super anxious to talk about PS3 because the second anyone
Hey, let's
offers
make stuff up. Everybody else does.
right.
It's
yeah.
coming out in October.
Right. And I have an analyst who I know who I can't name, but they know exactly.
Yeah.
30 million units right at
oh,
start.
Yeah,
Nobody
right.
oh,
knows
yes.
anything.
At least.
If you say it with enough conviction, everyone will report on it as fact, apparently.
Right. And there will be online service just like live.
Yeah.
They're going to call it Live 2 Hub
yeah.
XL.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, like, we looked into the stuff that kicked off this week. There's a lot of truth to the stuff mm-hmm. that was being discussed, but the specifics, you know. Pick a random date in September
right.
that coincides roughly with when the PlayStation originally came out in the US. I mean, that's about as reliable as that was. But, I mean, I would imagine, based on the feedback that we got, that there's no way in hell it's going to be September. It's too early.
I was, yeah.
Well, you
and
saw the headline today, PS3, not ready yet.
Well, you know? Yeah, no shit.
I was at a developer's 2 weeks ago, and they had just gotten their fourth rev of the dev kit, mm-hmm. and it still wasn't the final one, and they still didn't know anything about online plans. Mm-hmm. Like, they have ideas of what they want to do, but they're like, we can't commit to anything until we actually know what the online service is. So the people who are making the games
Right. I mean, Dave Jaffe's on the 1UP show today, and his response is, you know, do you think Sony is a smart company? And it's like, well, yeah, about a lot of things, not about everything. But and he's like, well, you know, they have this under control. They're just not ready to talk about it yet. And I think it's going to be the same with the hardware. It's going to be a similar pattern to a 360. You can't launch a machine that powerful that quickly with that many units. So if you do it in September, you're going to run out day one and then spend the next... I mean, what's Microsoft done? I mean, we're in month 3, 4 now, and they still don't have supply under control. So you're not going to launch in September and screw up Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked to the Extreme Tech guys, and they filled us in a lot on the technical side of it, you know, where they were as far as chip production and how much time it would take to get that together, and how PS3 is going to be competing for some of those same memory chips that are holding back the 360 production. And it, you know, it sounds like when you look at the tech side, there's a lot of process information that, you know, it's going to take them longer than September to get ready. And then you talk about like the software side, and if they're not into final dev kits yet and we're rapidly going through February, how are they going to get that wrapped up and actually have good games?
That'll be the next headline: PS3 to ruin Christmas.
But for some people, it really will. I mean, like, the Xbox ruined Christmas for a lot of people. But I mean, they really are
ahead and pre-order, idiots.
They are really not ready to talk about it yet. I mean, Phil Harrison is going to talk about it at GDC. It's the partner thing down in Florida this week, next week. Destination PlayStation's any day now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, plans are starting to be rolled out, but there'll be some at GDC, but the motherlode's still going to be E3.
Yeah. And for Sony, though, it's genius, because every time a little crack like this happens, everybody goes nuts. It's like the instantaneous berserker.
This week, all that press out of nothing.
Nothing.
I mean,
is there a point at which, though, that stops, like, that sort of...
But it's not coming from Sony.
That's up to the people listening to us.
That's true.
That's up to people listening right now. You know, as long as they're hungry and frenzied over every little drop.
Are you hungry and frenzied out there?
A little turn bit. To the 1UP podcast.
Right.
That's right.
Ew.
So what do you think? Predictions?
As far as when it comes out?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking that they're going to shoot for a November time window.
Yeah.
Because I think that they'd maybe... Sony likes to bring the product out in Japan first and then bring it out elsewhere. They've have to have looked at what Microsoft did and said, look, they gained nothing from trying to launch this thing worldwide. If anything, they shot themselves in the foot by not
Although
having...
Although they are in a different position in that in Japan, they are actually liked.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think they'll probably try... Maybe September will be like a Japanese launch with not a lot of software, maybe, what, a handful of titles, four, half dozen maybe, and be ready for a November launch in the States, which the retailers would adore, because nothing would make them happier than to bring a flood of customers through the door on Black Friday. And
well,
maybe
if I have the supply.
And we're already hearing that the first wave, I mean, as ever, I mean, like, this isn't surprising, but, you know, the first wave of games, a lot of them are using technology that's not really pushing the hardware. I mean, we've heard that a lot of stuff is going to use the same engine as the 360 version.
Exactly. Where have we heard that before? Yeah.
Look how far Graw has come as the builds have evolved, and it's still really technically, I mean, that's first generation software, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe 1.5? Would you call it 1.5?
1.5 what?
Generations.
Nah.
It's still first generation.
No, I mean, so far the only thing that on 360 that really makes you go, wow, is Fight Night.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
and Graw will sit alongside that, and maybe PGR, but we're just starting to see them getting started. I mean, like, another year from now, this, you know, by the time PS3 is out, there's going to be some incredible stuff on 360.
Yeah, and that's going to make it tough for them, especially if they have to really be thinking about their supply shortages too, because if they're in a supply shortage situation, Microsoft has their production sorted out, and they can hit with some great looking games. Mm-hmm. Again, that battle is a pretty tough one, especially in the Western market. You know, in Japan, maybe it's a different story. And I think online, they have to do something online. The rumors of hub or whatever hub may be, you know, they have to do something like that, right? You
can't. Producer's taking phone calls. You're boring him.
Next thing, he'll be texting. He'll be thumbing text messages back and forth. Huh?
So, I mean, related to all that, I mean, we can speculate all you like about the hardware, but I think one thing that is going to come out of what's going on now with 360 and definitely with PS3 is we're going to see a lot of old franchises going away and a lot of new franchises coming, which is a good
thing. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Please. Hoorah.
Please.
So, I mean, there's already stuff start. I mean, it's cool that Ubisoft is sort of reinventing the Ghost Recon franchise. I mean, it's a familiar name, but it's reinvented. But there's a lot of stuff that seems to be coming already on. Is this stuff on PS3 you can talk about?
Well, the does this air today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, on our I will not give a name, but I will say that on our April cover, it's a brand new title, brand new franchise that will be on PS3. As well as 360 and PC. And then our May cover also should be a brand new PS3 IP. So, yeah, stay tuned to OPM for
How long has it been since you were able to do two new IP covers back-to-back?
Yeah.
And we actually have three because last month was Black on PS2.
Awesome.
But, yeah, awesome. It's been a long time.
I mean, Black, I mean, the reviews have been a bit mixed. But, I mean, EA right now really needs things like Black. They need to get out
they
of
the... They need Criterion.
Yeah, they need Criterion. They need... to get out of the annual sequel thing, because they're kind of trapped in that.
Boy, the worm sure turned on Black quick, by the way, didn't it?
Well, I mean, to Shu's point, it's all Vissa.
Yeah, it is. It is all Vissa. It absolutely is. But it's, that's a blast. Okay, so did you guys, who played GoldenEye on the 64? Did anyone, was I the only one?
No, everyone played that.
Right, but so did you, after you finished it, did you just not play it? It was one of the things I loved about that game was you could just pick it up anytime, throw it in your 64 and play and blow out a level when you just wanted to run and shoot stuff, because it was a fun game to do that in. And to me, Black has that same appeal.
Right.
So that's another sort of replayability that I haven't seen anybody talk about. They're
we've had it running in the OPM Cube. We finished that issue a month ago and it's been there the whole time. And we just yesterday, right. Once we finally got it out, you know, we were waiting for pages to come out of the printer and we just went to the bridge level and started shooting
But it
stuff.
Is one of those games where I think response is, you're going to see how subjective the response is, because there's going to be, I think the score range is going to be pretty wide.
It is going to be very wide.
There are going to be some people who are going to be wanting a Half-Life Halo story-driven and punish it for not being that.
Right. No online.
Didn't they specifically say that they weren't trying to do that?
Well, yeah. Right. But when you play it, 8 hours of just blowing crap up is a lot.
It's a blast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, but... You know,
you don't need more.
Sitting down for 8 hours is you need to sort of consume it in little
in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Great point. And then you may want to go back and
it's
consume
like that
another
bag
chunk
of Oreos.
Next week.
If you eat it all at once, you're probably going to puke.
Well, it's kind of like downing a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great spot to wrap this up. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you sitting down here with us. And also, we now have forums. We have the 1UP Show forum and the 1UP Radio Forum, which has already started filling up. I don't know. Have you guys looked yet? There's already a list of like a dozen show starters.
Oh, cool.
I think we're set for shows for several Fridays to come, but keep on writing them in, because we are definitely reading them. We are definitely tweaking them, and we will look forward to hearing from you there. Until next week, we're out.